Ready? All right, we'll call the Community Development Committee meeting to order. February 11th. Item one, public comments. I don't see anyone is here. Item three, the Y project. Mr. Rasmussen from MnDOT, right here in Wilmer, is here to update us on the Y project. So, welcome.
Thank you. What I'd like to do tonight is just, we have two options that we're looking at for the Wilmer Y, and I'd like to run through those two, then answer any questions you have, and then let you know where we're at in the process and where we'll be going from here. The first one, if you have these sheets, this is the original proposal that was made, put together by the railroad.
Not that one.
The next three.
I've got some extra copies if somebody wants one.
The next three. It's three sheets. It takes it all the way from Highway 12 down to the bypass.
Yeah, the front first sheet is the, just the, is the whole thing at once, and then I'll kind of, I'll go through the, these sheets a little bit more in detail. On this, in this particular option, Highway 12 would stay at its same location, and there would be retaining walls built on the west side here in front of West Side Storage, Fabric Warehouse, I never can say that word right.
Epitopics.
Epitopics, that's it. There would be two retaining walls, one on either side, and they would start out right about the West Side Storage at the ground, and then here, by the time where it crosses the railroad, they'd be 30 feet high.
30 feet high?
Yep. And then there would be a very skewed bridge to allow the railroad to pass underneath. And then on the east side, there would be a retaining wall on the north side along the railroad tracks, basically mirror image of the other one. And on the south side, on that side, there would be a slope. There's enough open space there to slope that down along there.
Okay.
And this would require a realignment of County Road 55, which is this road right here in pink.
Yep.
And so there would be a cul-de-sac up here on 45th Street, and the realignment of the township road on the north side of the railroad tracks. And this is pretty much, we've been looking at this project kind of in three pieces, the north and the south and the middle, and then the railroad portion. So that's on the base original alternative, that's the what would be constructed. The railroad would turn off there and head south about 600 feet west of County Road 55, or east, excuse me, County Road 55. The next sheet would be, would show the end of County Road 55, where that's tying back in the existing County Road 55, and it also shows,
I'm missing this one.
Yeah. This would be the better one, that would be the best one to talk over. This sheet right here. This is the middle project or piece. You can see the railroad is just heading north and south. In this location, there's one railroad track would split from the section north of Highway 12, and then once it got made the curve, it would get a spur line on the one side. In this location, it shows three sets of tracks, and that third set is for a spur that goes off into the industrial park. So this portion is of Highway 40, and Highway 40 would go up and over the railroad, and so there would be fills built there, which would get approximately 30 feet above the railroad track, which is pretty close to right at grade there. So we would put Highway 40 basically would be on a, we'd build a big hill, go up 30 feet in the air and then back down on the other side. And that would require us to regrade some of Highway 55 to get up and meet County or Highway Highway 40.
So the county, they're talking two bridges, and that's the Highway 12 and then over...
Highway 40, okay. On Highway 40.
The county would be responsible for...
No, those would be MnDOT bridges. Yeah.
The county bridge you're talking about is down at the south end. At the bypass.
Oh, by the bypass.
Yeah.
To address that a little bit, that's, at this point, it's not part of our project.
Right.
That is something that the county is kind of pushing, and we're looking at how and if we can put that into our project. If we can, how we would do that.
Okay.
Because we're worried about schedule, and it's not funded. So we're worried about those two things to get it in here. And so at this point, it's not part of the project itself. The last sheet is this sheet here. This just shows the south end of the Y. This is County Road 55 coming down and across. You can see where the railroad tracks split from both sides of the Marshall subdivision line and come back up and go to the north.
So this line here will connect, so it'll go back up?
Yep, this will come back up and could go back into town that way, or this will go back down to Marshall.
Okay.
Yep.
Or else they could have just stay on Highway 12 and come into town, right?
Yep. And this is, originally, when they originally looked at this, they looked at having this U-shaped piece up at the top, but then they'd had to cross Highway 12 twice, and it took two bridges instead of one, and so they moved it down here, and that's, so then they only have one bridge to cross.
Any questions so far?
So that's the base alternative. With the next alternative, the only thing that changes is the top portion, this piece. The rest of it south of here is actually completely the same, and the railroad tracks themselves are completely the same in both options. So the only thing that changes in the next option is what happens with Highway 12. And then what happened is, as this project moved along, we did what was called a value engineering study, and we got several participants to take a look at the project and kind of look at where you could save money or where you could improve the project without costing a lot more money. That's kind of the things they're looking for in a value engineering. So what you do when you look at a value engineering is you look at what are the expensive parts of the project. And when we looked at this project, the expensive parts are the retaining walls and the bridges. So we took a look at this area really hard to see what we could do to either, I don't say improve isn't the right word, but to come up with another idea that may be a better option. So we came up with this. So we're going to go with this option here. One thing to keep in mind that this option, we call the value engineering option, is a lot farther behind in the process. So there's a lot more unknowns on this one. And we are moving ahead on what for MnDOT would be lightning speed to get this to where we can make a good decision between the two. So I know I sent those out earlier in the week, and since we got those on the 7th of February, we've actually made several revisions. So I can just point those out to you. The first one is this piece of road that goes north and south here. I don't think we tend to not build that, and instead build where this cul-de-sac is here. We'll connect that over to County Road 55 and make a T. So there'd be an at-grade rail crossing there. And that seems just to make more sense from, I think when the original VE was done, we looked at a way to try and tie these businesses back down to Highway 12, and that looked like a location, and I think it didn't take long of looking at it to realize that was really not an effective way to do that. So that's one of the things we've done, is taken that out, and we'll connect this in here instead and not have a cul-de-sac there. The other one is we won't have a cul-de-sac here. This road will be able to continue along on old Highway 12.
Oh, okay.
And the other thing we are looking at right now is we've got this connection here, but we're looking at moving it a little farther out here just to make the connection a little bit shorter. And that's purely to save a little money. Rather than build all that road, we can get by with a little, much shorter stretch. But overall, what this option does is, instead of leaving Highway 12 on the alignment, this takes Highway 12 down to the south and goes south of the farm service elevator and Quam Construction and the all these businesses along here, moves it to the south, comes down across as County Road 5 and then ties in right by the it's a Coca-Cola bottling plant there.
If in the future the city needed or wanted access into our industrial park from the north, we would be able to come off of the revised Highway 12 as long as we met MnDOT access standards, quarter mile spacing, and okay.
Yep.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, at this point, and we're still in development of this, and that's something, as if this option's chosen, that's something we'll have to work through. We may be able to provide those locations ahead of time, but mm-hmm. at this point, what we're trying to do is get this alignment developed as far as we can, so we can get a good estimate and make a decision between the two, between this one and the original base option. And so there's certainly a lot of things on here that have to be looked at. How we treat this intersection at County Road 5 will be one of the big ones. One of the benefits of this option is that we move that intersection mm-hmm. down from the railroad tracks on County Road 5, and that's always been problematic. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we have a very big accident cluster there, but it's always been functionally a real big yep. issue, so that should help that. The other things it does is it gets rid of the retaining wall, so this will just be a big hill filled again, and it also makes the bridge nice and square and as short as we can get it to save some money and some energy on that. So
industrial park access, is that a quarter mile spacing? Or?
Well, off a highway like that, MnDOT access standards would probably restrict it to quarter mile access, I'm guessing.
Yep, I believe that, yeah, since especially when we look at developing, this is the developing edge of town, they're a little bit closer than when we get out of town, I think it's a quarter mile.
And that would work out just fine for another access into the north end of the industrial park.
So have you had any input from any of the business owners that will be affected?
We are having a open house on February 25th, 2 weeks, actually 2 weeks from today. Right now we've got it scheduled, it's from 5 to 7, and it's scheduled at the Wilmer Municipal Utilities Building. Okay. Although we're looking for a little bit bigger room, we're a little concerned that the room there might be a little bit small. So that's why I had a flyer made out and I was going to pass out today, but since we're trying to decide if we're going to move it to a little bit bigger room, I'm not exactly sure where it is, and I'll get that to Bruce the minute we get that decided. I made a few contacts with some of the businesses out west, but I started making some phone calls to invite all of them to the open house and offer to come out and meet with them. And so, and I That's why, as one of the partners on the project, I wanted to get to the city and get to the county before we had that open house and let everybody know where we're at. And everybody's certainly welcome to the open house. And that's one of the things we're trying to do is get that input before we make a decision and see where, see what some of the comments are.
So this will be the first time they've heard about it then?
For most of them, yeah.
Most of them, okay.
I can think of a couple that would definitely have some excitement about the value engineering option, so.
Excitement which way, Bruce?
Hmm?
Excitement which way?
Positive. That we're a little concerned about their losing our access to what we had before, so.
Any other questions?
The not having the 30-foot retaining wall sounds like a positive. That sounds.
It's certainly something that we were a little nervous about. That's why we wanted to see if there was another way to get it done.
What do you think your timing might be in terms of decision?
What we're trying to do at this point is we're trying to get our estimate, get this far as long as we can, get the public open house in, and then try to have what's called an alignment decision workshop about the 1st of March, or that first week in March. And then we can make a decision on which one we want to go with. And then we'll have we did receive, I'm sure you read in the paper, a $10 million grant from the USDOT. So after we have that, we'll have a kickoff meeting with the Federal Rail Administration to discuss the environmental documents and where we go from there. So we're moving pretty quickly and hope to have a decision on one alternative or the other sometime about the first part of March. And Bruce, you'll be invited to participate in that workshop. And it'll be a kind of a continuation of the risk workshop we did earlier.
Yeah, just before 4:30, I saw we've got another phone call on tomorrow afternoon. So another conference call. So
the railroad, they're on board. They have a few concerns, I'm sure. But.
I think they're on board. Their biggest concern, especially with the VE, is VE1, is that it is farther behind and how much time that's going to take to get that caught up. The original design was further down the line. There was more environmental study done, so that's a little bit farther down the line. It'll take more effort to get the VE option caught up, and they're a little concerned about the time frame of that. Yeah. Very concerned, I guess, about the time.
Did you throw out the deadline for the environmental in order to stay on track with the Tiger project? That's in September. We have to have the environment by September 17, right?
Yeah, September of 2017, we will have to have a grant agreement written with the Federal Rail Administration. And in order for them to sign the grant agreement, we have to have the environmental documents done at that time.
So do you have all the land, the options and everything in place, or do you have to buy?
No, we'll have to buy. We'll have to buy land. The railroad has been purchasing some land, but MnDOT has very specific rules on how we are able to purchase land and when we can purchase land and how we do it. And the railroad, as a private entity, doesn't necessarily have to follow those same rules. So there's been some back and forth on how to mesh what they've done versus what we have to do when we start funding projects. So they stopped buying right away at this point. They had purchased some and they've stopped until we can get some of that straightened out and decide how we proceed from there.
I think there were some differences between BN philosophy and MnDOT regulations with regard to purchase pricing and basically determining the prices and what they needed to have in hand and to legitimize the cost.
Dumb question, what happens with the old alignment then?
Right now, a portion of it would be removed. we would have to leave some in to get out to the Dooley's Petroleum. That is something where we need to talk with, I've had some discussions with Mel at the county level, and I'll have to have some discussions with some of the township roads. Some of these will have to be turned back to other entities, and so we'll have to have, we're still in the process of having some of those discussions.
I ask one question?
Sure.
With the concept of moving Highway 12 south, do I see that 55, that's an improvement probably, that people might drive, drop down 55 to get to 12 versus staying on 40? Is that a thought or not, or?
Yeah, we've been having some of those discussions that you can, it certainly may put some more pressure on County Road 55, because rather than come all the way, right now it seems like a lot of people come in on Highway 12 and then go down County Road 5 and then disperse into town, and this may
encourage them to
move here and down, and that's one of the reasons the county has been pushing to get a bridge over on the south end on County Road 55. So.
Okay, that makes sense. I get that now.
Certainly something we've been talking about and kind of have some concerns that may push some more traffic on the County Road 55.
One thing I've noticed at every meeting is because of the scope of this project, there's some new tentacle that shows itself at every meeting, something that somebody hadn't thought of previously, and it's just huge, and the coordination on this is major.
I would see that as a plus, though, to have a second, stronger access from 23 and,
Oh, yeah. Any other questions?
I'm good.
Well, thank you very much for coming. Appreciate it.
Yep.
In 2 weeks, then, you'll give him, Bruce, the time.
Hopefully, I'll have that done tomorrow, but for sure, it will be 2 weeks from today, from 5 to 7. And it's just a matter of what location for sure.
Then we can announce it at the council meeting on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for having me, and if you have any other questions, you can feel free to give me a call.
All right. Good.
Thanks, Paul. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yep, thanks.
All right. Item 4, sex offender housing update. Good article, too, in the paper. So.
As you can see in the material that I provided, we weren't able to learn a lot in doing research on the status of the house that was brought to our attention previously. Subsequent to that, the West Central Tribune did have an article that answered some of the questions, but the article says that it's licensed by the county and the state. We could find no verification of that fact online, and we tried contacts with the owners, we tried contacts with state agencies, and that information, they either don't return the calls, they don't respond to the emails, or they won't answer the questions. So I'm not sure how this is all going to progress going forward. Obviously, some other cities have dealt with it, as evidenced by the examples Robert provided, but you know, my best advice to the council at this point would be, if you think that this is something that you want to pursue, staff can do some additional work, contact these other communities, see what methodologies they used for tracking the locations and how they were able to deal with it through the zoning process, and it appears that's our only option.
You can't do anything with the zoning.
Well, yeah, if they're operated as licensed residential facilities, that's where
less than six residents, then they're not subject to local zoning.
Right.
Law,
right.
You know, regulation. We can't regulate. Our police powers are been taken away from us.
Yep, that's true.
Wasn't there something on the siting? They could be a distance from.
Yeah, we can pass some ordinances. put restrictions on how close they can be to schools, churches, parks, any other place where children might regularly gather. I think we should.
I do too.
The ordinances that Robert sent us as samples, I've already had those and from work I'd done previously, but it's there's two types. And when you look at those from a legal standpoint, a couple of them have I classify them as being somewhat limited, like the one from Duluth. That there, when they define what the designated predator offender is, that that becomes a key term in the ordinance. They define it pretty narrowly. It has to be a person who's been categorized as a level 3 predatory offender, which is the considered the higher risk. They use a grading of 1, 2, and 3, mm-hmm. and that's usually done in the prison setting when these guys are incarcerated, that before they're released they classify them. And then that triggers different notification requirements for the community and what law enforcement may or may not do with those notices. But so when you, the way this is worded, for example, the Duluth one, it says any person, it defines this predator offender, the designated predator offender, as anyone that's been categorized as a level 3. Well, that means you're not controlling the ones or the twos. As where if you look at the ones from Chisago County and the one from Albertville, they carry a definition of anybody that's been convicted of a sexual offense, and then they define designated sexual offenses, so they catch most of the ones you'd really want to catch in that definition, which will include whether they're a level 3, level 2, or a level 1. So if any of that, so regardless of what level they are, if they're placed at one of these facilities as some kind of transitional housing program, the control we would have would be they can't be located within so many feet of a school or a park or a church. But you have to, those distances have to be reasonable. If you take and draw, and I talked to the mayor, he was going to have Curley draw some maps showing where churches are in like 1,000-foot radius, maybe in 2,000. So then you can see how that affects the rest of the community. I mean, because some communities have tried to pass zoning ordinances like this with these distances, and they'll have like 5,000 feet. And of course, then all the circles cover the whole community. There is no spot that would not be prohibited. So, and those obviously aren't reasonable.
Well, it's been found to be illegal. You know.
So, I don't know if any of these have been really challenged, but I mean.
No, I mean if you exclude them 100%.
Yeah, you can't.
You can restrict them, but you can't exclude them.
Yeah, and if you do, you will be struck down because it's pretty obvious what you're doing. You know, those aren't reasonable limits, if you will. So,
how do you see controls on the offenders that are in housing that is not a licensed residential facility?
I don't know if you can. Well, this doesn't pertain to whether it's just licensed or unlicensed. This just pertains to people that meet those definitions.
How do you track the ones and twos that aren't going to the licensed facilities?
They have to register, so the police department should know about them. All level ones, twos, and threes, almost all of them will be registered if their conviction was for an offense that requires registration, which is, when you look at the statutes that are listed, like in the Albertville, one that talks about what a designated sexual offense is, and it's anybody that was convicted under all these statutes, those are first, second, third, and fourth degree crim sex conduct, or contact provisions. So
by creating these rings within which they cannot live, depending upon the number of residents, you could concentrate them in really small areas.
Yeah, you could. That's one of the things that when we were talking about this last Wednesday at a meeting, a week ago last Wednesday, that the mayor was at, that I suggested maybe we should have some maps done. And he said he'd have Curly do them.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that.
And that gives Robert, before he drafts anything, you know, a picture of the effect and whether or not it's reasonable. I mean, you know, pretty good visual.
So do you know what he was going to use? Just churches and schools, or churches, schools, and parks, or?
I think he was going to use all the ones that.
Churches, schools, parks, recreation facilities.
Daycares.
Hmm?
Daycares.
Yeah, daycare centers.
Commercial daycare, maybe, but you got a lot of.
Yeah.
A lot of housing daycare that.
But they're licensed, aren't they?
If they're licensed.
And that's through the city.
Licensed.
Schools.
The state they are.
You know, you're talking about schools, parks, daycare facilities, churches. And those are the ones that are most common. And then some of them contain a catch-all of, like, other places that children may regularly gather.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I mean, I'm sure that wouldn't be hard to figure out where that might
Library.
Be. But. Yeah.
Well, with all the in-home daycare.
I looked at that, but that was on the mayor's desk.
Oh, okay.
So, Larry, when you were up in, is it Albertville or St. Michael?
Yes.
Or both?
With Albertville? Yeah.
Okay. Well, did you deal with this, or was that in place before you got there?
That was there when I was, or they put in, enacted when I was there, I believe, yeah.
Okay. Did they have any issues up there?
No. No, I don't recall. Can I see that, Tim?
Wow.
Audrey?
I guess I'd like to see staff do
That's
some more work on it.
Just part
bring
of
it back to us. And
a larger ordinance that this was part of.
No, we're not.
It's not the whole ordinance, in other words. Mm-hmm. And I just copied I've got the whole ordinance, but that's on my computer at home. And
I
only copied the one, the
Al
part
Brooks
that deals with the restrictions.
Al would be
sexual
a good reference
restrictions.
Person to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Brixius.
Well, I'm looking at these maps, and boy, if you start getting into the 1,000-foot maps, and this doesn't include daycare facilities, you're basically creating exclusionary zoning at that point.
Yeah, I haven't seen them. So.
Yeah, we just brought these around the mayor's desk.
I guess
so
I'd still like to see us pursue this. I think we need to do something, but I still would like an answer to this license versus unlicensed, because that's what's back in Robert's, you know, about how we can do this. And so I think we've got to get some more information and find out what kind of licenses they're operating under and pursue what we can do.
And you also have to look at the exceptions that are in here, because, for example, this wouldn't apply to scanning it here. The residence is also the primary residence of the person's parents, grandparent, in other words, family member, you know, a direct family connection. You know, you may have a convicted sex offender who gets released, and they'd be on probation for, you know, continued period of time after their release, or a parole, rather. Not probation. Probation is when you don't go to prison, but parole is after you've been in prison in the last 30-year sentence, or the extended. They have extended periods for sex offenders. They stretch that out, but they're under supervision when they return to the community. So that's an exception. You can't exclude somebody from living with their direct relatives, and that makes some sense, I suppose.
So our old nursing home on the north side. That's basically for alcohol and drug addiction. Is there any?
I don't think there's any
not there,
sex offenders in there.
Yeah, to the best of my knowledge, there isn't.
If there are, they would have to fit the other criteria, like for drug or alcohol issues, I would think. But you know, that's.
I can see a real challenge to monitoring this and administering it, but.
I don't think so. I don't think there's that many. I mean, you know, and you go out to. You know, somebody could go out to probate. Of course, I don't know if that's private data or not. I wouldn't think so. But I think you could find out, you know, registered sex offenders. There's a map where they already put the threes on there that you can get online. And then
Jim said it's pretty manageable now with, you know, the threes. But if you go to the ones and twos.
They're not on the map, that the state puts out.
Are there a lot of them? The ones and twos?
I think there's enough. I mean, you know, just from my experience in criminal courts, those kinds of cases were growing. They weren't shrinking, you know. I mean, we hardly used to see any back in the 70s and 80s, but once, you know, in the last 15 years, yeah, a lot of them. There's a lot of them.
Would there be 100? Would there be 1,000?
I can't tell you those numbers, but I mean, it would be, it would surprise you. It would
could be several hundred, maybe.
Pardon?
Could be several hundred.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, for various levels, so.
So this info we got from Robert, from those other communities
in
that county, are they the only ones that have ordinances?
Well, I've also got one from Hanover that I don't have, I didn't print a copy of. I've got it on this iPad.
So is there any rationale, like, because they seem kind of close together, or some of them do?
Oh, I don't think so. I just think, and I know other cities are
looking at it.
I know Brooklyn Center, I think it was in a Minneapolis paper. They passed a moratorium that said that none of them could move into the community during, like, I can't remember, it was 30 days or 60, because they were looking at them, what they were going to do.
I think law gives them 60 days with a moratorium to craft an ordinance to deal with.
I don't think that's legal, but my guess would be the DOC ignored it, because it was a short time period.
Yeah.
By the time you get done trying to do anything from a legal standpoint, the time would be, questions would be moot. So
what do you want the committee to do?
Well, I would like us to move forward on this. That would be my, you know, if we need a motion, I would make a motion that we move forward on this.
We need more information then?
And, well, we need to, I think we're going to have to make, if these maps are done, they ought to go to Robert for review.
Is that for 1,000 feet, or?
I think it's both 1,000 and 500.
1,000, 750, and 500, and prepared maps, so.
Do we need a motion to do this, or can't we just revert back to staff to bring it back to us when?
You don't want to forget about it, are you?
I don't think we need a motion, no.
The mayor's got his maps. I mean, these are a little challenging to read at this scale, but.
I'm going to send Robert a couple of other things about, for example, we have some facilities in town that, residences where we have vulnerable adults residing, and I think those should also be included as a protected, with so many feet. You could vary the distances on these. They don't all have to be the same. You know, I mean, if those circles already black out, I mean, Bruce's glance was that covered a whole, quite a bit of the community, excluded a lot of areas. You can have some different ones that might open it up a little bit, make it so that it meets the reasonableness test, is what I'm saying.
When you get into vulnerable adults, though, you're talking about group homes. And we have 200 and some group homes.
And then we'd have to map each of those.
That's how that would work.
Yeah. To map the group homes and the home daycares.
They're everywhere.
I mean, they're registered with the county.
Yeah.
But doesn't it make sense? I mean, these vulnerable adults, you wouldn't want them right next door to a vulnerable adult?
Some of the vulnerable adults may be 1-2s or 3-3s.
They could be.
Another thing is, like, you can't apply these provisions retroactively, so the residents on Southwest 10th Street wouldn't be affected. But I'm going to ask, one of the questions that occurred to me that I want to pass on to Robert would be whether or not you can grandfather in. Right now, that's that you grandfather in the facility, that it can't be excluded. I'm wondering if we could. We grandfather in only existing residents, you know, the people, and that therefore when they move out then they can't move another one in, so to speak. I don't know if that. I have a feeling that might not be perfectly legal, but
yeah, I think they look at the use as opposed to the occupants, specific occupants, but
now you're back to whether it's a licensed facility or not.
Yeah,
and what does that mean? So. I still think we gotta push that one.
You gotta be licensed, I think, before they can house them there. The state's gonna exercise some control there.
Yeah, for the transitional stuff, absolutely.
Yeah, you can't. The state's not gonna allow me, for instance, without a license, to buy a house and then try to contact the DOC and say, you can put your bad people in this residence, just pay, you know, what, and pay me enough per month and I'll operate it. They're gonna ask the first thing, well, are you licensed? Because we ain't putting anybody there if you're not licensed. I mean, I haven't looked at this, but I mean, they're not, DLC isn't gonna place somebody in an unlicensed facility.
I agree to that, but if I understand correctly, there's no staff or anyone in that house. So what does it mean to be a licensed facility? You know, what's the criteria? And, you know, if they say they are and we can't find that they are, then shouldn't we know what kind of license they're operating under? Wouldn't that be something to know?
Well, we can, those are good questions, yeah. You know, what's the criteria to get a license? And I think we have, I think citizen has a right to know where those facilities are.
I don't disagree.
I don't think that they should be allowed.
Do you wanna run those questions past Robert now?
Nah, I don't see any need to, you know. But.
I think we got a lot more homework to do, so I think they can be asked and brought back another time.
Yeah, I don't think this is gonna be a quick process.
I don't either, but it's a darn important process.
So you got everything you need?
Yeah. We'll have this done by Monday, Rick.
Yeah, lots of holiday.
Okay, Tuesday. I'll be here Monday, that's okay. So.
If you have any other questions, call Tim.
Well.
I'm gonna send it to Robert, but whatever I send him, I'll copy on so you know that, you know.
Be helpful to get your questions answered. And then, you know, once, I don't know if the mayor's had much chance to go over this, are those his comments?
I'm not sure.
Okay, because, you know, you could do a certain spacing from a school or a park. You might have a reduced spacing from a church. You can have different size rings. You don't have to go with one size fits all.
These sample ordinances, I think, are all the same. They're all like, I think Duluth used 2,000 feet, and the rest of them are 1,000, if I remember when I read them.
Okay. The name was, they obviously don't include home daycare, and they obviously don't include group homes, and if they do, they obviously don't have the concentration that we do here. And you're probably only going to find concentrations of group homes in cities similar to Wilmer that one time had a regional treatment facility.
Well, a lot of small towns have them now, too.
Yeah.
Well, let's see, here's Mississauga County.
So the distance, is it from the structure to the neighbor's structure, or is it property line?
It's in here. You have to have that in there, and they're different, you know, they're not all the same, but I'm just looking here, glancing at the Chisago one. They put it 2,000 feet from any school, licensed daycare facility, any public park, or any designated school bus stop. You know, some of these buses stop 3 times on the block. I've been behind them, so I know.
But that's county. That's Chisago County. That would go into the cities then.
Yeah, right? This is a county one, and that's, of course, Chisago is, you know, there isn't a lot of population in Chisago County.
Okay.
I could see a lot of neighbors going out with tape measures.
Well, I think what you almost have to do is go from center of property. Otherwise, you could.
Yeah.
Anything
else on
this one?
Unless you end up with all these skewed shapes, and it's going to be interesting.
Anything else? No? Okay. Item 5, over a gift of land. How did we miss that?
You mean, how did that happen?
We've been maintaining it, haven't we?
Yeah, but if you see the property, you'll understand.
I remember where that house was.
Yeah. I drove by there on my way in here, and I struggled to figure out which piece it actually was, because we kind of take care of that whole bend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I suppose when they did the bypass, it split Nelson's property.
Yeah, and they didn't even own it at the time, so. It's this parcel here. You can see this little piece right here?
Mm-hmm.
That used to be part of this parcel across here. When the state bought right of way, it severed it. Mm-hmm. And
quite frankly, when we were acquiring this property, we never thought there was a, you know, we're talking 100 square feet, 120 square feet of property in there. It's very minimal. And the Nelsons are either going to let it go tax forfeiture and then the county will play with it, or we can accept it from them. And we'll have to, I need to get a more perfect legal description from Mark Nelson if we're going to pursue this, because there's two steps. It'll have to go to the planning commission and then come back to the council to adopt an ordinance to acquire the property. So I guess what I'm looking for tonight is some consensus from the committee or direction to refer it to the planning commission if you're interested.
Well, what's easier, letting it go back to the county and tax forfeiture, or
I mean
they're willing to give it to us, so.
Yeah, what happens then is somebody can come and buy it, yeah, and try to do something stupid on it. You know, I own it, I'm gonna park a car there. You know, that's, I think the lesser of the two evils is to pursue the acquisition.
I'll make a motion.
To me, like, it's kind of useless.
It is useless, yeah. So we got a motion to...
Yep, to refer it to the planning commission and for review.
The state just take it.
Yeah, you end up with a goofy remnant like that.
Yeah.
Of course, that right-of-way's got to be like this. You can't have any jogs in it, Tim, because that screws up the state's record, so, you know.
Is there a second?
It's too bad.
Mm-hmm. There is, okay. Larry?
Is it because of the taxes that they want in?
Well, that's one of the reasons. They're paying, God, I think the total tax on the thing is...
It's got to be negligible.
Yeah, I want to say like $40 a year and 50. Yeah, the city share is like $10. It's,
yeah. But the total parcel is only like 40, you think, or do it?
40, 60 bucks, yeah, for the whole parcel, yeah.
And do they mow and maintain it now?
No, the city does, because we thought it was part of the parcel we acquired previously, so... So if you want us to bill them for the mowing, we can do that.
So we got a motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That carries. Bring it to the planning commission.
Okay.
Goes to us on Tuesday.
We will do just that.
Any other new business?
Motion to adjourn.
Old business? Do you have any updates on any?
Still waiting, and this will be quick, still waiting to get the final draft of positions from Dooley's. I did meet with Randy Dooley, and he went through their list of employees, and between their Murdoch and Clare City offices, there will be, I believe, 29 relocating to the Wilmer office. And that does not include truck drivers.
That's not, okay, I have a concern on truck drivers.
Yep, nope, this is office people.
Just office.
Yep. And so once we get that from them and they get plans into us, we'll be able to put an estimate together for the reduction under the land write-down. The company is definitely not interested in nitpicking over $500 here, $1,000 there. They just don't care. They just want to get this figured out, go to closing, and they want to build. We've also followed up with Municipal Utilities and CenturyLink and CenterPoint to get their services into the industrial park as soon as we can this spring, and all three of those entities have it on their plans for 2017. And obviously when we've got somebody like a Dooley going in there, they will make it a priority.
Is there something going on Wilmer Avenue and by the clinic there? There's guys marking stuff every day for all week so far.
What side of the clinic?
First Street on the east side of them, and then by Washington School and that way, there's those guys with checking for wires.
Well, I'm not certain exactly what they'd be doing in the right of way at this point, unless they're identifying utilities. There has been some talk about a possible project on that larger site this year. I'm not at liberty to disclose what that would be, but
something's happening.
Yes. I'm at a point right now where there's four or five things going on that I just can't even talk about publicly, so it'll come to the council in due time. As soon as we get something formal, it'll be public to the council, so.
Like that new store?
Yes.
Anything else? Okay.
Motion.
For adjourned, thanks.
Second.
Thank you.
No, I'm early.
Yeah.